Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down. Nobody wants to show you how. So if you're locked on your own, you can never surrender. And if your life won't lead you home, you can never surrender. And when the night is cold and dark.
Good evening and welcome to the 17th podcast of the Never Give Up Show. I am Bailey Smith, your host, where we talk about anything and everything from abuse, corruption, and beyond. Tonight, we have a very special guest. Well, thank you, Marianne Petrie. You're always amazing throwing people my way, and I am honored to have this guest here tonight. James Russell is a Canadian-based writer with 27 screenplays and a producer of 5 short films and a feature film in post-production. An award-winning photographer for 10 years, James began producing his own screenplays in the late 90s. His company has 4 features in various stages of development, including Custody Denied, an Erin Brockovich-style thriller, The Why. I began looking for a family court project to produce about 5 years ago after my ex cut me off from my 2 lovely grandchildren. I connected with Marianne when I saw a post about her recently published book. Both Marianne Petrie and her story inspired me so much that I asked her if my company could option her story. She graciously agreed. I spent 3 months writing the script, which was inspired by Marianne's story, but it is more generic. I am focusing on family court corruption, CPS, crooked lawyers and judges, parental alienation, incompetent social workers, and court-appointed psychologists. We hope to attract an A-list actress to the project and raise $1.9 million. We need to begin shooting. Wow. First of all, I'm going to say this before I even bring you on. James, I can't thank you enough for putting this together. I mean, you can write my story if you want in 3 months, because I've been trying to write it for a year now. I'm going to bring you on, and whatever other things I have to say, we can talk about after. I'm going to bring on our guest, James Russell.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
My pleasure.
Can you hear me okay?
Thank you. Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yes, I can. And hello to and a belated Memorial Day wishes to all our American neighbors from all of us in Canada.
Thank you. I just want to give out our phone number. Please call in whenever we have callers. It always helps, increase the fun of the show, however you want to call it. Or, makes it more lively. 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. We had a call that just dropped. I don't know why. Please call back in. Or you can listen to us on blogtalkradio.com/friendstalk. And you just have to scroll down to the show Exposing Family Court Corruption, groundbreaking feature film in the making. I also will have the show downloaded this evening on SoundCloud. So sometimes it's easier to find that way. Well, floor is all yours. Tell us how you got into all...
You pretty well summed up what I've been working on, and my company, as you mentioned, I was inspired by Mary Ann Petrie's story. So we decided to move ahead with a feature film inspired by Mary Ann's struggle to retain obtain custody of her children. You know, we've been working on this for a year, which is not unusual for an independent feature film. It's actually 5 to 7 years is not unusual to try to put together financing for an independent film. What we're hoping to do is attract an A-list actress, an Amy Adams, a Bryce Dallas Howard, a Lisa Edelstrom, which will, you know, once they're on board, once they're interested in the project, then we then go out to financiers and investors and say, look, you know, we've got interest from this amazing actress. We have an amazing script, which is based on an actual woman's story. Not only based on an actual woman's story, but it because there are millions and millions of victims of family court corruption, I think that this movie is going to attract a lot of people to it. And I'm hoping that the movie will begin a conversation or increase the intensity of a conversation about family court, because it's just horrific, you know, what it does to mothers and fathers and children.
Oh, my gosh, forget it. The children suffer the most.
Yeah, I also wanted to point out, you know, my story. The reason I was my company was looking for a project is that because I was cut off from my grandchildren 7-8 years ago. So you know, grandparents also suffer.
Yes,
there are laws. In terms of in family court concerning mothers and fathers having custody and having access, but there are very, very few laws in the United States that address grandparents, and that's a real tragedy because grandparents are so essential to a child's life.
Yes, I know. It's heartbreaking.
It is. You know,
go on.
You know, and I don't, and I understand it. There's something about divorce and separation that tends to bring out the worst in people. You know, you see perfectly lovely people just behave, I would say, evil, you know, in an evil way. False accusations, coaching children, parental alienation, and it's a tragedy because the villain here is family court, and the villain here is family law, which is not only archaic, but it's destructive to the family.
The real victims are our kids. Yeah, the real victims
That's
are
right.
our kids.
Absolutely.
They're the ones that suffer the most.
And the trauma that kids go through will stay with them the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It just never goes away.
I know all about
so
it, unfortunately.
That's what we're hoping to do with the movie. Film financing for an independent producer is odd. In order to raise the money, we need to have a name actress on board.
Right.
In order to get a name actress on board, we have to have the money. So it's kind of a catch-22. That's why I'm hoping that one of your listeners will know someone who knows someone
right.
who can get a copy of our script to a name actress, or even to one of the top three agencies, creative artists, William Morris, or Gersh, and get our script into the hands of an actress who I think will love the role, because it's a role right. is a very powerful woman, puts together a team of volunteers who operate a hotline and advise mothers and fathers how to avoid the horrors of family court.
Right.
So it's an important story that needs to be told.
It needs to be told, because I know personally so many people in this boat. The worst part is how you end up there. And yeah. the after effects. And the scariest part is that, you know, the court does not want to be, they don't want, the corrupted people, and I always say it starts down with the police, with lack of knowledge, and all the way up to the government. Do they really want to be exposed? So, for you to come forward and write a script like this, or take her story and expose them, that's huge. And for somebody to come along and play that role, that's huge. That is like
yeah.
life altering.
Courageous.
I mean, they have
yeah.
the potential. Yes, they have the potential to help change our future generation going forward.
Well, absolutely. There's a movie that just came out called Dark Waters, I've forgotten the name of the actor, but he plays a lawyer who exposes large oil companies' destruction of the environment. And of course, there's Erin Brockovich with Julia Roberts.
Right.
And Erin Brockovich, actually the real woman, is still working on, is still campaigning for clean water up to this date. But having a movie and getting in front of people's eyes and getting the conversation going is a huge motivator for change. And that's what we're trying to do, is bring about
Mark Ruffalo?
Some change.
No, that was the producer.
Mark Ruffalo, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You know, family court and the foster care system is a billion-dollar industry.
Mm-hmm.
States profit from alimony payments and foster care, and of course lawyers profit from it, and as well
mm-hmm.
as some and although you know I'm sure that a lot of foster most foster parents are just wonderful people, but there are also foster parents who are not, and they profit from
oh,
the
yeah.
foster care system, and some kids end up in human trafficking. It's just it's
yeah well
just
I just
tragedy.
Posted something I just posted something on my Facebook, and I'll put it on LinkedIn after, on one of our, hopefully she'll call in, one of our advocates in this specific field. She sent me something. It's a $1.5 billion human trafficking, a child trafficking business. It's a business.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And a lot of the kids who end up in human trafficking come through the foster care system.
Yep. We live in a really broken world. It's so United States of America. Forget even the across the nation, across the world. America.
Well,
I mean, there are rings just where I live. I'm sorry, go on.
The problem is profit. Wherever there's profit, mm-hmm. there's corruption. You know, if you remove profit from the equation, it will solve a lot of the problems. You know, lawyers cannot profit. States cannot profit. Foster parents, the bad ones, cannot profit. If you remove profit from the equation, I think it'll solve mm-hmm. a lot of these evils. But at this point, you know, no one, it's because so many people have an invested interest in it. It's a hard fix. It's a hard.
You know what gets to me?
That going to it.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. You know what gets to me is that we're dealing with children's lives. Forget the mothers, forget the fathers. We're dealing with our next generation of kids that you are destroying, literally destroying. So they either grow up to become criminals, they grow up to become abusers, suicide, drugs. The kids that end up semi-decent are the ones that come from broken homes with two parents that work together.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
You know, it's hard enough for a kid to grow up in this in this society. But, you know, growing up with strikes against you must be horrific. You know, I come from a family where, you know, I had a brother and sister and a mother and a father. And you know, I can't even imagine the stress on a single father or a single mother in trying to raise children in this kind of environment.
No, you can't. I'm lucky. I'm blessed too. We're five kids, two parents. Thank God they're still alive, and 29, maybe almost 30 grandchildren and four great grandchildren.
Wow.
thank you, God. Bless them all with health and everything. And my parents should live as long as possible to see more and more grow up and get married and have kids, whatever. But it's tough. I'm going to bring Marianne on, and while you guys are chatting, I'm just going to see who our other caller is. So, Marianne, thank you so much for introducing me to our guest tonight and for calling in. You're great support always, and I very, very much appreciate it. You know that. So I'm going to let you go talk for 2 seconds while I see who our other guest is. So chat away. Give me a second.
Hello, Marianne.
Hey.
How are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
Good. Good to hear you.
Yes. Haven't talked to you in a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks anyway. But as I was explaining to Bailey, the process of for an independent producer to raise $1.9 million is a little on the tends to be a little bit on the slow side. So, you know, I know that you know, you've been very patient with us, but you know, we're working on it every day. But we want to tell you know, we want to tell your story, and we want to reach, you know, not only your story, but also the stories of disenfranchised fathers and mothers and the struggles that children go through.
I'm back. What did I miss?
Oh, we were talking about, you know, telling a story and, you know, when, how this film is going to come about. It's taken a little time, but anything good takes time, so.
Right.
That's just how it is.
I had a question for James. Have you had a chance to get this script to any of these people, any of these agencies, or to anybody?
Name agencies. Here's how it works. I pick up the phone, call, say, an agent at CAA or Gersh, who represent, say, Amy Adams.
Right.
I say hello. They say hello. They ask who I am. I say, you know, James Russell, producer in Canada, and I've got a project that I'd like to send the script to Amy Adams. Next question. Are you fully financed? Answer, no. Call me back when you have the money.
Really?
And that's the end of the conversation. Unfortunately, the reason we're trying to reach out to people who know people who know people who know people is because oftentimes the only way to get a script like this or a project like this to the actress is actually for someone who knows them to hand it to them, because we can't get through the agent. I mean, and to be honest, you know, I understand agents work on commission. If you're calling and you don't have $1.9 million, they're not going to make any money. Why would they talk to you?
Right. They don't think like
so
that.
So to answer your question, no. You know, it's a great script. It's a great role. And I'm sure that a great actress would love to play the role. It's just that getting it to them has been impossible.
Wow. What a shame. Because we need this story out there ASAP, because you're gonna be swamped with stories after this from every direction.
Actually, I've been swamped. I've been swamped since we first put out the media release a year ago. Every day I get emails or texts from people who say, you know, my story, would you please tell my story? My story is horrific. Nice. And I tell them, you know, that really there are so many horrific stories out there. I can't tell all of them. I can't tell. I have to focus on one and try to make it as universal as possible.
Right.
Sorry,
and hopefully you can share them from different directions at some point.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, you know,
yes,
you know, not to say my story is crazy, is worse, but mine is from a whole different direction. You know, I didn't deal with the court system, thank God. But I have a whole other crazy story. There's so many people have stories from different directions, and all those directions have to get out there, because for me it was police issues. They were just untrained and they wouldn't put together reports properly, and because of that they suffered tremendously.
Not unusual. HR, the police HR, have a problem hiring the right kind of people, and to make matters worse, their training sucks, especially in regard to the mentally ill, especially in regard to family issues. They just are either unable or unwilling to train their officers properly. Mm-hmm. And this has been the case for decades.
Yep. And this is why so many women end up dead. Domestic violence across the entire world is the number one killer for women, because they don't come forward, or it's a culture. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, nothing's done properly in the police department, and these men are out there. Trust me. Every time I look at my 3 years of police reports, I'm like, that's where I'm up to. I'm writing my book, and it's like, I want to write all the mistakes I made, like the things I should have done differently had I known. Or that's the message I want to get out. Never do anything to protect your children. You need to protect yourself first. That's my message.
Well, you should write the book. Do it, please.
I'll get there. I will get there. I will get there. Marianne, what else do you have to say?
What'd
you say?
No, I'm patient, and I know this will come to pass, that this film will be made to expose the corruption.
It definitely will. You are so brave, Marianne. You are amazing. I mean, the amount of shows that you do, and you just keep going and go. You're like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, I've never seen someone do you and Dr. Petra. I always confuse the first and last name. She's like 24/7 doing. Have you ever connected with her, James?
Yes, I have. I have, as well as other people also involved. with family court. If you, you know, if you Google family court and Facebook, you come up with.
I know. And I'm friends with almost all of them because of Marianne.
Yeah.
And she can't collaborate with you?
People who advocate.
She doesn't have any connections? She doesn't have any connections to collaborate with you?
No, unfortunately she didn't. No.
Because she does a lot of her own stuff, her own documentary stuff, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's tough. A lot of people, out there very, very personally interested in the subject, but again, finding someone who can actually move the project forward has been a challenge up to this point, but we keep plugging away.
Right. It will happen because it has to happen. Marianne, did you have anything to add at the moment?
Well, I just hope that, Lisa Edelstein will pick up on this and want to take the role, an actress that wants a challenge that will benefit humanity.
Oh, yeah.
I guess is what I'm trying to somehow say.
Go on.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm saying that films like these, as in Dark Waters, these are the films that keep people going, that keep people persevering. And we need more of these films out there, like Dark Waters and James Russell's film as well.
By the way, I made a mistake. Did I say 150 million on human trafficking? It was 150 billion. Did I say million?
No, you said
150
million.
Okay, because somebody sent me a message.
It is.
Marianne, I'm going to put you on hold, and we have Mina on the phone, and she's part of one of our groups. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling in.
I've been listening, and part of this being from Hollywood myself, I know that for a project like this, it might be useful to find a producer who's got a vested interest in this subject. And lately, I've been seeing a lot more stories about people in Hollywood who are getting, who their careers are being affected because of family court decisions by family court judges who really have no business practicing psychology in their courtrooms. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion would be to try to reach out to some of these producers that you might have been seeing in the news lately. Maybe in the past 10 years, who have had family court issues that might have stifled their career.
It's a good suggestion, and I have been doing that. Again, the talent agencies are the firewall. Any producer who has the ability, either financial or in terms of connections, is repped by probably one or of the five talent agencies. And getting past them has been impossible at this point.
There's other ways to do it, especially with the young people nowadays. They do a lot of their connections and networking on Twitter and then through direct messaging. If you get someone that can do that kind of social media stalking, for lack of a better term, to be able to get that out there. So, yeah, I would suggest that. And then, I wanted to also comment on the subject about grandparents' rights, because that's a huge issue. And I know a case of a Kentucky family where the father was, it was a couple with one child. The father was murdered. The wife was having an affair. Then the wife, after the father was murdered, the wife married another man, but she died away under also suspicious circumstances. And the grandparents, the parents of the father of this child, wanted to see their son. And this son, or the grandson, this grandchild is being raised by no one he's related to. and the courts denied mm-hmm. them any visitation whatsoever. And I know that in Kentucky, that's even against the law, because the law provides for parental visitation. So it's just horrific. There's so many stories out there, and it's very complex of a situation. And you're absolutely right. I do believe that this is all a very corrupt, like pockets being lined and referral systems. It's basically it's a racket, and that's really what it is. And there was a man out of San Diego that was following this whole thing. He has a website called The Public Court. I don't know if you've seen that. But he has a lot of connections and people in California that might have some resources to be able to get the word out and maybe try to get some networking there for you.
Oh, great.
So it's called
great. Thank you so much.
The website's called thepubliccourt.com. It's thepubliccourt.com.
Okay.
So Dr. Ahmad Tadros was involved with that one, and that's another high-profile thing. But he has a lot of contacts in that whole industry. He's someone that really helped me with my situation as well, and I've been dealing with corruption as well, CPS, not doing their complete background investigations and just making calls. You know, it's – the whole system is so broken, and I really don't even know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know where would we begin. The only thing I can think of is we start by having family court judges have psychologists that are part of the courtroom. I mean, it's a
forensic,
different track.
Forensic psychologists that are involved on either side.
Exactly. Where they talk to the therapist and really get to know the family. And they aren't. I think that it has to be a separate track, you know, than regular divorce. Because divorce here is financial.
Right.
You know, there's a difference.
And then the criminal part. Because there's always somebody that's an abuser. Or supposedly.
Not always. I mean, that's the whole thing. Yeah, we're talking about...
Or supposedly.
Like, brings out... Yeah, I mean, you know, James, you said something very interesting about it. Divorce sometimes brings out the worst in people. But, you know, I think that sometimes people get divorced because you find out who they really are. And and so the true colors get revealed in divorce of who they really are, because, you know, in my situation, I didn't know what I was dealing with until 3 years, mm-hmm. no, 4 years, 4 or 5 years after I was divorced is when I really started to understand the depths of the complexity of the mental issues I was dealing with. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I never would have known. My marriage would not have ever survived. And I really, you know, I kept thinking it was me, but it's, you know, sometimes these things are premeditated and they're very complex with the behavioral issues that you're dealing with. So really psychologists are the ones that need to be helping and facilitate these situations.
Trained
psychologist. Could I ask two of you a question? Marianne in her book suggests that perhaps part of the solution is to have cameras in courts. Do you think that is a viable solution?
You know, I love the cameras in court. In my situation, we do have cameras in court, and so they're always videotaped. And it's proven to be very useful, especially for impeaching people, because there's so many lies, you know, and that... And I think psychologists are able to determine a lot about a person's behavioral and personality disorders when they're on the stand. It really does reveal a lot. So, yeah, I think that we definitely have the technology. We should have video cameras, and it should be accessible by everyone without having to pay for it. I mean, I'm saying that anyone in party to the case should have access to those files.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, I'm so grateful that you're doing this. Thank you so much for bringing some more awareness to this. This is a huge epidemic in this country. And and like Bailey saying, I mean, the children are suffering. And this is, we really need to do this for the kids, or else we're going to have another generation of damaged people that are going to raise more damaged children. And the cycle of damage is not going to be stopped. Yeah, it's an epidemic. We really need to address it. So thank you so much for having me and letting me share my opinions about this. Okay, thanks.
I'm sure you'll have more to add. I'm going to go back to James and let him talk a little bit more. Then we'll bring Marianne back on. In the meantime, 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. We'd love to hear from you. There were two people that called that dropped. I don't know why. I hope you call back. I hope more of you call in. We have a great show tonight, and I'm sure there's so many of you that can add to tonight's show, or, you know, we'd love to hear what you'd have to say, what you have to say. So, James, back to you.
Now, one of the things that, I found interesting as a Canadian is that in most of your states, judges are allowed to run for re-election, and lawyers are allowed to contribute to their re-election campaign, which to me doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense in terms of maintaining social and judicial ethics. Here in Canada, judges are appointed and they remain in office until, you know, they commit some offense or retire. But in the United States, most judges are appointed for a specific term and then they're allowed to run for re-election. That doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me. And I think it opens up a lot of possibilities for influence peddling.
Yeah, well, this is what's going on, is that the judges are friends with the psychologists or the attorneys or vice versa. And it's like the exchange of hands. It's, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Marianne that posted a meme or something a couple months ago, a picture of exchanging hands in the courtroom. And it's the only way the whole psychology thing works is if it's an outside psychologist that's trained specifically in forensics and the behaviors, because whether it's the woman or the man, because it happens on both sides, these people are mentally ill. Because if they were not mentally ill, they would want to raise the children together. It would be amicable. And it's come to a point where there's so much anger and revenge and hate more than there's love. So they rather destroy the other party and the kids on top of that, just out of revenge. And that's not normal. Normal people don't go around destroying the parent of their children. So, you know, the fact a forensic psychologist who has trained with the specialty of the courtroom, you know, and it has to be someone, again, that's not on any party. It has to be an outsider who has no invested interest and is not profiting from either side. And I've said this from the moment I started doing my advocating. This was one of the things, and from hearing all the stories, and if I ended up in a courtroom, these men, okay, we're referring to men at this moment, are charmers, and they can charm the pants off of anyone and make you look crazy, like what happened with Marianne.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's there's a lot of factors that are put into place that are in place besides the corruption, besides them having power because they know this one knows somebody, this one knows somebody and whatever. It's also, you know, the narcissistic psychopath or sociopath. In the parent that is doing this to their children, and you know that's a big factor. Now, when I was talking about the criminal part, a lot of these people end up I shouldn't say a lot. Some of them do end up in jail for whatever reason because they are abusers. And that piece should be separate, but it should be brought in to the courtroom when a decision is made. Because why would you give custody or split custody to someone that is not healthy or that offended?
Absolutely.
So I didn't mean to take over your time. So continue talking. Sorry.
No, I can. I completely agree. You know, we, you know, society has a responsibility to protect children. You know, they are not capable of protecting themselves. So we have a responsibility for protecting them, regardless of what kind of wars the parents are engaging in. The children come first. And anything that would be damaging to the children must, you know, in terms of a home environment, the child must be removed. Because as we were saying before, the trauma that a child experiences stays with them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. I'm watching it right now. It's 6 years later. My own children.
So your case never made it to, but you were mostly dealing with the police. Is that correct?
So I had a similar situation to Mina where I didn't realize how sick my ex was until we were separated after 21 years. And because I took a beating, that was when I put my foot down and my son, my middle son saved my life. And that was when I said, I can never be with this man again. And I always say it was a blessing because I probably would have taken him back had that not happened, especially my child witnessing it. So my torture began from then on. And then I did end up getting him locked up, but not enough. And my third lawyer managed to get mediation for like the third time, whatever. And he didn't come. His lawyer came for him because it was like 2 weeks out of jail. So I got pretty much nothing as far as money, but I got custody of my now 17-year-old, and this was October 2018. So, but it all started in December of 2015. So imagine how I suffered from then. The peace was when he was in jail, the few months.
Yeah.
But still violates restraining orders, left the state on probation. It laughs at the system because they're not going after him. It's a joke. You know, child support's a joke.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, I don't know if you ever had a chance to listen to the slam the gavel that I did with Marianne. But she was so kind to let me rant and rave for an hour about the broken system from bottom to top.
Yeah.
And I really let it all out. It was great. I had a venting session, but I was telling the truth. You know, it starts, if a good report is not written, it's not making it to the DA's office. And then there's zero chance of anything. But my kids witnessed enough that the trauma, and they were not babies. So it's, you know, I always look at kids their age or kids from, you know, they went to school with, and I see the difference of where my kids are and their kids are, and that's when resentment hits me. That's when I get angry and I get, because it's not fair. It's just not fair. So, anyway, this show's not about me. Let me bring Marianne back on. I want to give out our number again, 516-531-9643. We'd love to hear from you. We have a great guest tonight. Marianne, you back on?
I'm here. It's this whole corrupt court system, it needs to be brought down, and I wrote the book because I wanted people to hear what I had to say and what my side was, because the opposing, it was all about them. And I was railroaded, as many parents are. And, you know, and having your kids withheld despite a judge's order for visitation was getting to be unbearable, ridiculous. And when you've got a personality disorder, just going by their own roles as if their attorney is the judge is not helping the situation. And, you know, and I do believe it put my mother in an early grave. I really do. The stress of the court proceedings and the lies and the defamation of character was maybe too much for her to handle. But also my kids suffered dearly for this. And, you know, it's all in who you know in that court system. And that's what's got to stop. Like my producer was saying, how these judges are elected. And, I mean, it's all in who you know. They get reelected all the time. And there's just no end to it. In fact, I see a counselor, and I've seen her for a number of years, but she actually stood outside the voting, I don't know, voting area with a sign saying, please don't vote for this judge, with a judge's name. That's how dedicated she was.
Wow.
And unfortunately, the judge still won. But people don't know. People don't realize what's going on in these family courts. And I would like video cameras and tamper-proof mics in all these courtrooms, criminal, civil, family law, whatever,
mm-hmm.
just so everybody's monitored. And the behaviors of everyone is monitored
mm-hmm.
closely.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw how the opposing side acted when they took my kids away, that should have been on film. Someone should have been saying, there's something wrong with this case. It just did not add up.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
corruption, you know, fosters, darkness fosters corruption. You know, you have to have a fair and equitable and transparent process. You can't have courtrooms where you get cowboys and incompetence and abuse and insults exchanged back and forth. Because if you, it goes on and on and on and on, then the system just continues to become less useful and more destructive to families. So yes, cameras in courtrooms, absolutely. That's why they put cameras on cops. You know, with the body cams, because mm-hmm. it holds them accountable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. They need to be held accountable.
Go on. Sorry. Go on, Marianne.
Oh, that's okay. No, yeah, these judges need to be held accountable. You know, what they've been doing is pulling them out of retirement, and, you know, they're still getting two salaries. They're getting their retirement salary, and then they're getting another pay on top of that for sitting on the bench for 6 hours that day, maybe three days a week.
And so they're destroying lives.
And destroying lives at the same time. Without
and they're getting money from the
right.
corruption in the court.
Right. Right. And the thing is, they don't even understand, maybe. I don't know if they don't understand what these personality disorders are doing to the other parent, but there was a case, it was last year in the UK, where they took a mother's kids away and she immediately had a heart attack and died in the courtroom. And I did not want that happening to me. That happened later, but not in the courtroom. I was,
I mean,
what are people doing to each other?
It's crazy.
It is.
Now, there have been several cases where parents have walked out of the courtroom and just set themselves on fire or stepped in front of traffic.
There's suicide.
Suicide is not uncommon.
Mm-hmm. I have Susie Patrick on the phone. I actually connected her with Marianne. She has a very similar story that she's dealing with. I'm going to bring her on. Marianne, do you mind if I mute you?
Oh, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Bring Susie on. Hello, Susie. Hello. Hello, hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
I am doing well. I'm listening to you guys, and I totally get exactly what you're saying.
Well, let Russell know what you're dealing with.
Well, mine started 7 years ago when my son and I were legally, via our Texas divorce decree, living in Belize. And my ex decided to pull some strings and have us brought back, basically trafficked and kidnapped. None of the due process, none of the proper channels were done. The Hague, I didn't get a Hague hearing. I didn't get a Belizean hearing. They just slipped some money to some police officers who picked us up at a health food store and threw us on a plane, separated us, and then threw us on a plane. And once we got back here where all the connections were, then I was arrested at the airport, and now you can't find my arrest record. You can't find anything on me. I've had FBI checks, I've had FEMA checks, nothing. The only thing that's out there as far as I know of is my intake papers that I kept. But they got me here so then they could use the strings that they had to literally do exactly what you guys have been through. Now we're in guardianship court playing with the same players that we had in the family court, but my ex's attorney is now a family court judge who is not my judge in guardianship court, but she is controlling my judge in guardianship court. You know, the psychologist that did our home study was my ex-mother-in-law's good friend, but even though she gave me a really horrible home study, she's given everybody else the same type of one because a lot of us have gotten to know each other and we've compared our evidence and things such as our home study say the exact same thing. So I totally get what you guys have gone through and continue to go through because we're there as well. So thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate it.
Well, it sounds like a horrific story. We're glad that you survived and continue to survive.
We're still in the middle of it. Bailey was at a hearing we had a week ago or so, and she got to see them try to make sure I didn't get to attend and a few other things. So
I get on the Zooms. And I'm just quiet and, my name's not on there or anything, and I watch these things. The second one I've watched that was so corrupt, I was like, unbelievable. I was laughing. I mean, it was not funny, but it was funny because it's the same crap in every courtroom.
Well, and everyone else that got to get on but me.
Yeah, and I messaged the judge, hello, she's trying to get on. They were going
to
start with that.
I had to actually call the judge's office, and we had to do it over the phone.
Yeah, they let her be on speaker. I got on the same link she got on.
So I sent all the links out for the people to come watch. And they all got the same link that I had. But this is just how they do it. They have court hearings without you being notified. It's just commonplace here.
It's really, really horrible.
I wonder how much of it is you know, how much just straight up incompetence plays a part in the horrors of family court. I mean, I know that, of course, there is corruption, but, you know, I think some people are just incompetent.
This goes beyond incompetence. This is a $150 billion a year industry. It is worldwide, actually, but that is just the U.S. Numbers. And this is what they're teaching in law school, is how to make money, because this is nothing but a money machine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the old
Our lawyers are not taught law. They're taught how to make money.
Yeah, and whatever organizations that are out there to help victims, they're cutting off their funding. I know in Texas,
organizations, once they find out where we're from, what county we're from, they won't touch us. We have been blacklisted for the state of Texas, literally. And this is not just my story. This is many families that I've gotten to know over the last few years. Because mine started in 2014, and I had no idea that I wasn't the only one going through this until one of the families got on the local news. And that reporter was doing a great job, and they actually threatened him. Well, actually, from what my son's psychologist said, they blackmailed him because she knows him personally. And she said that the reason he just is silent. And he's not even doing investigative reporting anymore. He's doing, like, the local flower show.
Yeah, a lot of people have a vested interest in keeping the family court system the way it is now.
Oh, yes.
The banks.
Well, thank you guys for what you're doing.
Well, thank you for calling in.
And good luck with your ordeal, and you know. And please, if you can, follow our movie, Custody Denied. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and I think also
posted
the website.
She has it. She has it. She has it. I sent her the show. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. And good luck with your endeavors as well.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
y'all have a
Susie,
blessed
I hope
evening.
I hope you continue to listen. Have a great night.
I'm
Thank
sorry.
You for calling in. I said I hope you continue to listen.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, guys. Okay. Y'all have a good
Thank
night.
You too. So, Why don't you, you know, I'm going to open Marianne's mic because there's only a few of us here right now. I'm going to give out our number again, 516-531-9643. This show is archived on blogtalkradio.com/talk, and then you look for the show, or the link that was sent out. You click on it, like the picture of what I sent out. You click on it, and the show pops up. You press the play button. So it's there. It's archived. I also will have it downloaded to SoundCloud. I will add it to wherever I post, well, probably my Facebook and to LinkedIn and Instagram. But it's the Never Give Up show on SoundCloud. It's sometimes I feel like it's the easiest way to listen to things, especially if you're driving. So this show will be out there. We can repost it how often you want. You know, I think it's important to just keep putting things out there so that people, you know, when they have time to listen, like Marianne does a show. How many shows a week do you do, Marianne?
Well, sometimes it could be one, it could be three. It just depends on how they land.
And I try to get to them, and it's like I have so many things to listen to that I'll listen to rabbi stuff that gives me encouragement and helps me with my faith to keep going. So there's so many things to listen to that how you do so many a week, I don't know. It's draining.
It's
you know,
tiring.
When you hear all these
things. Yeah.
So I give you a lot of credit.
Well,
so James,
thank you.
Tell us more about the stuff you've done, maybe.
Sure.
So
my production company, as you mentioned, has four feature films in development. We have an interesting story called Happy Father's Day about a loving father who discovered that his son has become a serial killer. So he sets out to try to prevent his boy from harming anyone else. It's every parent's nightmare. What happens if you do everything right, but your child turns out wrong? You know, what as a parent, where does your responsibility end? Just because they turn 18, are they now society's problem, or do we as parents have responsibility for our children forever?
I think we automatically. It's an automatic thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was researching, the son is a sociopath. When I was researching sociopaths and psychopaths and mothers and fathers, mothers tend to love their children forever, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But fathers tend to have a breaking point, tend to have a cutoff point. So in my story, the mother knows that her son is killing people with Molotov cocktails, but she still loves him. Whereas the father reaches the point where he says, I need to protect society from my son. The other project that we have actually is interesting because it's about a sumo wrestler who becomes trapped in Los Angeles. He's left behind by his visiting sumo wrestling team, sort of a home alone thing. And he struggles to try to get back to LAX so he can get home. We have a gentleman who's the head of the Sumo Wrestling Federation in the United States, and he's on board as to finance the film. He has a stable of 96 sumo wrestlers. Sumo wrestlers are very interesting. Anyway, he has about 96 of them. So we're hoping to get that started sometime this year. We also have a film called Nurse Christie Saves Christmas, which we're going to shoot in Rwanda. Ever since the horrible events of the 90s in Rwanda, Rwanda has sort of bounced back, and they're trying to build up their film industry. So we're working on that as well. And lastly, we have a movie called The Reluctant Witch, which is a story of a young 16-year-old who runs away from witch's school and is captured by human traffickers. And she ends up using her fledgling witch's skills and smarts to free herself and six other women who have been also captured by the human slavers. So we have all those projects at various stages of development. But, you know, again, these things take time. These things take time.
And these are people that submitted. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
These are people that
These were stories that were submitted? No, I wrote them all.
Wow.
The scripts, they're, last year we got halfway through our first horror film, and then COVID hit, so we had to shut down production, but we hope to go back to that at some stage. Here in Ontario, we're still in so-called lockdown stage, so the restaurants are only doing takeout, and we don't expect them to have even outdoor dining until sometime in July. Gyms are closed, and my poor wife has had to stand in front of the mirror and cut her own hair because the hair salons are also closed. She's not happy about that.
Is this new? Is it, like, you didn't have lockdown before?
Oh no, we've had lockdown since probably December. Yeah.
Really?
I think December. Yes.
Although I live in Florida.
Like California are opening up. Nice. Florida is opening up.
We've been
Texas,
open.
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah.
No. And in fact, even the border's closed. We can't visit the United States, and Americans aren't allowed to visit us unless it's a funeral or a wedding. So we've been, most production has been shut down, although some of the big companies like Netflix, Amazon, and Disney, they are allowed to shoot up here. But for an independent producer, we pretty well can't sort of embark on any production because the cost of insurance and the cost of COVID protocols is just prohibited.
Wow. I know Australia just went down on lockdown again.
I'm sorry, who?
My brother lives in Australia. They just went on lockdown again.
Yeah. It seems to be sort of uneven throughout the world. My friend in Nigeria says that COVID's not a problem at all. That they've had maybe a few dozen cases, very few deaths. Whereas some other countries in the world seem to be, like India, seem to be plagued by COVID. I think the UK is also under a fairly strict lockdown. Speaking to a friend in France, and they aren't allowed out at past 7 o'clock. They have to be indoors by 7 o'clock. Did you? Yeah.
Not that early, but
Go on. So production for independent producers is pretty well shut down, but we're hoping to get started back up. But in Canada, one of the reasons that we're reaching out to American actors and also American investors is that there's no private money in Canada. It's all government money. So in order to finance a film in Canada, you have to apply to the government, and then they sit on your application for 3 to 6 months, and then they decide whether, in fact, they're going to finance you. So it's a completely different system than it is in the United States, where there's lots of private money and investors. And, of course, the studios are, like Netflix, are rolling in money. That's also one of the problems that we have with talent. One of the reasons that agents will question is, are you fully financed, is because Netflix, Amazon, Disney have actually booked up major stars for years because they have projects that are fully financed, and they want to make sure that Amy Adams will be in their movie 2 years from now.
Right. And also COVID put everything on hold for a while.
Well,
right.
Actually, in Los Angeles, things are moving along in terms of production. And Georgia, I know, started production months ago. I don't think New York has, but
I know that, that Georgia and Los Angeles are gearing up or have
right,
geared
but
up
only
for
recently, not but recently, but not up until recently though. Like from when COVID
yeah.
hit, we were, everything
yeah.
was shut down.
Yes, yes, that's true. That's true. The major stumbling point is insurance. It's very difficult to find an insurance provider that will insure you for COVID, because if one person tests positive, the entire
mm-hmm.
production has to shut down for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a, mm-hmm. you have a crew of probably close to 100 people, and you have maybe 35 actors. It's costing you millions a day just to keep those people
wow.
in hotel rooms. So it's really hard
wow.
for to find an insurance company who's willing to insure you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons that it shut down.
Wow.
So with
it's unbelievable.
That you're getting about, so with all this information that you're getting about becoming a producer, perhaps you should give up on the book and become a film producer.
No. I like what I'm doing. I like advocating. No, I'm not making money off
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
I can advertise on SoundCloud if I wanted to. It's just not my thing.
Right.
My thing is, you know, I went through what I went through, and I think Marianne may feel this way and you feel this way. We went through what we went through for a reason. We have to justify
yeah.
that reason. And you can either
yeah.
go out there and help people in whatever way you can, or you don't make it. You don't make it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
last year, March time, like right when COVID hit, had all my kids home. I had a car accident in January and February. I was rammed into both times. Working
oh,
out
wow.
is like my outlet. Like I was a maniac and I couldn't do anything. And I went through a depression, a dark place, worse than after my separation. Like it was horrible. And it was
mm-hmm.
like I understood a lot. I got to understand my kids better because I had witnessed them go through such horrible times. But it's not a good place to be. So you have to find meaning in what you've gone through to survive. And, you know,
yes.
there are people that will tell me, oh, you keep yourself in victim mode when you do advocate. And I'm like, no, I couldn't do this unless I was healthy. No, yes, we go through trauma and triggers. Those things never go away. Marianne, am I correct?
Yeah. They never go away, but they become duller. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, right. Unfortunately for me, unfortunately, I feel my kids' pain. It weighs on me so
mm-hmm.
heavily. And
yeah.
I have one child that's a young adult that's been alienated from me recently. And the brainwash and mind control, I mean, you can't even imagine. And this is a young adult that went through hell with me. So it's, you know, it's a really, really tough situation. And it's very difficult. I'm going to let you continue to talk. We have somebody else that called in. I want to find out who it is. So you and Marianne chat. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Talk.
I miss talking to you, Jane.
I haven't done this much talking in years. Usually I sit quietly in my office and make an occasional phone call, and of course there's the Zooms, and but most of the time I end up writing or revising or rewriting or re-revising. What are you doing these days, Marianne?
Well, I'm still doing, you know, I'm just you know, looking after my dogs. My dad moved in with us, so that's been fun. And
oh, okay.
And we've been hanging around when my husband's at work and doing the podcast and, you know, just staying busy. It's just so weird. You just have to stay busy all the time.
Yeah. I haven't heard back from that lady who says that she knows Lisa Edelstein. The lady who said she saved Lisa Edelstein's dog, and she claims that she had her has her her email address, but haven't heard back from her. Where I'm hoping that she's still working on it, because that would be perfect if she could make a direct connection with Lisa Edelstein, and then that would mean we can get our
I'm
script
back.
To her.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
mind if I just bring this guy on? His name is Nathan. He has
sure.
some interesting things to say. Hold on. Thank you, Nathan, for calling in. Hello? There you go. Hello, hello.
Hello,
Nathan?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes. We
okay,
hear you.
Okay.
Welcome.
Okay, got it. For the lady that's trying to make a movie, if someone can, I've been looking on your site trying to find an email to send you a contact. I can't say that she can help you, but it's a lady that would probably give you some ideas of where to go or which direction for finding someone that can help you with what you're doing. I can't.
Marianne wrote a book, yeah. and James wrote a screenplay, and he's trying to find the funding and the actress. So you'd probably want his email address.
Yeah, if you can give me an email, I'll send you her name and her email address or contact information. If I mention her name, you may or might not be familiar with her, but I can say most, and I'm 60 years old, but there is stuff in our culture, movies, products, a lot of stuff and people that this lady is the one that made it a household name. So she has,
oh, wow.
she would be the one that can get you pointed in the right direction, but I can't give her name or information out over the radio because I don't have that privilege from her. But
I understand.
You can get me an email.
Yeah,
I will send it to you.
My website is on Bailey's posting, but my email address is JMR, as in James Michael Russell.
JMR
at Manx, and I'll spell that for you. M as in Mary, A as in Apple, N as in Norman, K as in Kelly, S as in Sam, and then dash productions, plural, .com.
How did you find out about the show?
I was scrolling through looking for a political show that might interest me. Okay, and I want to make sure I get this right. Productions, and you're spelling that with a T-I-O-N, right?
I'm sorry.
On the email address, I got JMR at MANKS-productions.
.com.
Okay. As soon as I hang up, I will send you her information and y'all contact her and see if she can I was scrolling through Blog Talk looking for a political show, and I seen you, and I said, well, let me go and see what this is about. And what intrigued me was what, you know, I don't have the same issues y'all have, but I have some things that bug me, and I'll give you a good example of one of them. I was noticing how every problem we got in our country, it's the solution is always in extremes that, you know, if you're doing something to hurt me, the solution is to go to the other extreme so that now I'm hurting you. And it never does. There never is any real answer. And I was telling this guy, you know, whenever I was a child, my mom and dad divorced. And and this was back in the early 70s, there was alimony, there was child support laws, but not alimony laws. So the mothers fell into depression. Their whole life was their husband, their children in their home. So there was a lot of poverty and people getting on welfare and government assistance. So by the time the political junkies, the activists pushed through the legislation to hold this guy accountable, his son is now a young man starting out with not a really good experience of what being a dad or a husband is. And when his marriage doesn't work out, he's pinned with lifetime alimony that now his wife is living with her boyfriend. He's got a boyfriend-in-law because they're not going to get she's not going to get married because it'll cause her to lose her alimony. And I was telling him about this stuff, and then he called me back 2 days and said he filed a lawsuit against Florida saying discrimination on based on sex, that a man is discriminated based on those laws. And then they ended up, and it never went to court, but our governor, and he's a mercenary, Rick Scott, he got that, made it a law, and signed it into a law right before he got elected, and he ran on that. So, you know, but what I was pointing out is the extremes of trying to get stuff done, and this is why we got, like, your problem is going to go into the next generation and
well,
whatever.
That's our point. It's a vicious cycle.
To the other side.
It's a vicious cycle.
And I think it's purpose to create chaos and a lack of order and no real solutions and a lot of hurt. But when I hang up, I'm going send this to you, and I don't know if she's the one that can get you pointed in the right direction or the one that can help you. I don't know, but
You never know. You were scrolling through Blog Talk Radio, and of all the things out there, you chose to call in here, and you never know. It could be God's plan, right? Everything happens
also,
for a reason.
And if you're comfortable, sir, please give me your name, because I'd love to list you in the credits. In the thanks credits of our movie.
Well, just Nathan in Orlando.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay,
thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. I'm gonna hang up. I'm gonna
thank
hang up
for
and
calling.
Still listening, but I'm gonna send this to you as soon as I hang up.
Well, I hope you continue to listen. I'm on every Tuesday night, and it's always a different topic on anything abuse and beyond. So
okay, now whenever you get this information on the lady, it is going to blow your mind. You know, there was some tennis shoes back, I don't know how old y'all are, but back in like the 80s, there was some tennis shoes that if I named the name, you were like, yeah, I know them tennis shoes. This is a lady that put it out there. There's movies out there that, you know, there's movies out there that and it's not just any one subject. It's she's a media person. She's a gal that if you were the president and you had a scandal, okay, or you're a congressman and you had a scandal, you would contact her and say, what's the plan to kind of like bury this thing? You know, how to do the right things. You know, that kind of crap.
Well,
so
I hope she gets the help, James, so that she can help all of us.
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm just saying this, when you see how, you won't know her name, but there's a lot you know that you'll say when you see what she's behind, you'll say, wow, she's a big fish in a small pond, you know? But anyway, I'm going to hang up and keep listening and send this to you.
Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Well, this show's always full of surprises.
Yeah, that's great. You know, that's the way things get done is people who know people who know people. And thank you so much for, you know, having me on, because, you know, this is the way we reach out to the greater public and about the movie and hopefully move it forward.
You know, I always say, and I'm sure Marianne could probably say the same thing. And Marianne, your mic is open, by the way. That for me, I started advocating on LinkedIn. I'm an insurance broker, health, life, dental, and specifically health. And I was fighting the insurance companies to get my oldest son help. or at least to keep him in help, the proper help that he needed, because they want to get you in and out. And I was ranting and raving and tagging with the big, from his insurance company, the big people, like the CEO, everybody. And I ended up getting him a lot of time in the place that he needed to be, because of it, I believe. I mean, I had them all, like the CEO, the biggest, highest people of the most of one of the biggest insurance companies, private insurance companies, checking me out. But
yeah.
I made such connections, not to the insurance companies, but from other people, because then I started advocating for mental health awareness, and then I started sharing my story. People would contact me and ask them to be on their shows. And then I started sharing a little bit of my story. I never talk too much about it because there's so much, and I want to write a book eventually, so I have to keep some of it, some of it aside. But that's my biggest support system, and aside from my family that I'm blessed to have, was social media. Were the people I made friends with on social media. That's how I met Marianne. That's how I met you. That's how I met probably most of the people, or a good handful of people that were my guests, through Marianne. You know, we connected through somebody else, and we keep adding to the groups, or whatever you want to call them, and we're there for each other. Like that woman Susie, I helped her out because I felt bad for her, and I was home, and I was able to do it. And I was able to do whatever I was able to do that's going to help her, hopefully. And I did it for someone else. And, I do work, thank God. I manage. I don't live fancy, and it's not my style, and I don't need to. And I feel like I think it was on actually Marianne's show. I said if I could reach one person, and that woman Nina I reached, she heard that show, and this other woman, they all reached out to me, and the other woman was on my show the next week, and we're all there out there helping someone, and like if we could get one person that reaches out to you that somehow can help you, or it's networking. But at the same time, we're supporting each other mentally. There are so many groups where I see people writing, I'm having such a horrible day, I don't think I can get through the rest of today. I don't know if you see this, Marianne. I don't know which groups you belong to. But and there are people that take the time to stop, because I have so much on my plate on my outside, like on my real life, that sometimes I just can't. Like respond. A lot of times I do, but there are people that all day respond to these people just to keep them going. And it's very healing when you go through the trauma we have gone through, when you help someone else. It's rewarding, especially when you get a phone call like this, or somebody reaches out to you. And they just want someone to talk to, or they want to share their story. It feels good. So, we're all helping each other, and we're each other's support system. And, they didn't have that, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. So,
Social media is very empowering, and it can be used for amazingly good purpose. And of course, it can be used for bad purpose, but it's very powerful.
I've experienced both, but I have to tell you, I've gotten way more good than bad. The bad is gone, thank God, hopefully. you know, I don't even look for things anymore. But if somebody posts something about me, I don't even care. My pictures were out there, and you can imagine what they were like. So I don't even care anymore. But, you know, you just have to learn not to care about the negative stuff or the bad people. And you have to focus on the good. Marianne,
absolutely.
We haven't heard from you.
Yes, I'm here.
Let me give out a number again, 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. We're on with screenwriter, how do you say it, screenplaywriter, James Russell from Canada, and Marianne Petrie. And we have about 28 minutes left of the show. So we'd love to hear from you. I know many of you are listening out there or will listen later, blogtalkradio.com/friendstalk. And it's Exposing Family Court Corruption, groundbreaking feature film in the making is tonight's show's called. And it will be on SoundCloud on the Never Give Up show. And we're here to talk about what James is doing, and Marianne wrote a book, and we'd love to hear from you. Back to you guys.
And, you know, I think that's one of the things that impressed me about Marianne's book, Dismantling Family Court Corruption, is that in addition to telling her story, at the end of each chapter, she sort of gave you a breakdown of what she learned and the lessons to take away. And I think that we all have responsibility, having, you know, me as a disenfranchised grandparent and the experiences, the struggles that you and Marianne have gone through. I think we have a responsibility not to be victims, but to help advocate for change, and to help bring about change. And you're quite right. Interestingly enough, unless you've been through the process and been burned, you're not likely to have that passion that will sustain you for years, the years that it takes to bring about real change in the family court system. So, I've been enabled by having, you know, my grandchildren taken away from me. As painful as that was and continues to be every day, every day I think about them and every day I miss them. And it's been
Are they very young?
They were, when they were taken away, the youngest was 4 and the oldest was 7. So I fear that, they've forgotten about me.
You think so? They'll come find you. I'm going to tell you an interesting story. We have another person that called in. So if you guys want to chat a few more seconds so I can find out.
Sure.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Okay. So your father moved in with you. That's great.
Yes.
Did you guys talk to each other?
Yes, oh, definitely.
I'm back. Sorry.
Oh, there she is.
You know, I had a co-host, but it was time for me to go out on my own. It's not always that I have people that I don't recognize the number, and I do have a folder that I've been writing down numbers so I would recognize them. But it's, you know, I have to screen the calls because you never know who it is. I'm going to quickly tell you an interesting story, and then I'm going to bring Tanisha on. And Tanisha just wrote a book, and I think Marianne met Tanisha. But she's also a person that was a victim, and she's a survivor and warrior. But I met her from a different podcast that I used to host to another place, and she used to call in and just want to listen. And now she's her own storyteller. she's come so far. I'm so so proud of her. But anyway, I'm going to tell you an interesting story. I was in Vegas recently rallying for a whole other topic, but I did a show on it. It's called Free the Chains. So when you have time, listen. This guy gave me a list from, I was taking so many Ubers and from the hotel and stores and whatever. And he was telling me how, you know, his kids stopped talking to him. They were alienated. And he said, you know, you never give up because when my kids got older, they all contacted me. And I have a relationship with all of them now. It was so touching because that's what they say, never give up. You know, that was the reason that I named my show Never Give Up, because you never know, you know? I mean, they were told such horrible things about him, and he never gave up. You know, he said I would send messages, I would just write them letters or whatever it was. And when they were old enough, they reached out. So anyway, I'm going to bring Tanisha on. Hey, Tanisha, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Bailey, thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. You know Marianne, right?
Huh?
Have you met Marianne?
Marianne?
Yes.
Marianne Petrie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we have James... We have James Russell, her screenplay writer, that's hopefully going to put her story on the screen on the show tonight.
Hi, Tanisha.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Because I'm like on the back row. His name sounds familiar, too.
Well, he's done some movies, right? We just talked about it.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm here. I got on late because I just got off of another call, and I'm just here to support and listen and support.
Well, we appreciate you calling in and supporting us.
Thank you, baby. You will.
And I will put you on hold because there's a little background noise. But I will bring you back on soon if you want to ask anything. And I don't remember what you were talking about. Oh, you want to talk to me? You want me to bring her back on? One second.
Yeah. I'm calling in from Mississippi.
Oh, okay. That's
Grenada, Mississippi.
That's just around the corner from Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people from Canada, like, on our Primerica, that's involved with Primerica, a lot of people.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
I know
that there are a lot of Canadians, especially in the winter, end up going to the southern part of the United States just to keep from getting frostbite.
Right. They come down here.
Yeah, Florida and Georgia, and of course, and I think Mississippi as well.
Wow, that's something I know.
You don't get a lot of Canadians?
No, not here. It is so light. It's dry here. But, you know, when I'm on the Primerica Zoom call, there's a lot of Canadians on there. We have, like, an app for the Canadians and, you know, United States, so that's how I know I talk to them when we're on Zoom.
Yeah.
Nice.
Bailey, where are you located?
I'm in South Florida.
Okay.
Like not far
okay.
from Miami, not far from West Palm Beach. Smack in the middle.
Excellent. Yeah, I know there's some huge Canadian communities down there.
Yes.
In fact, I understand that during the beginning of this year, Canadians were flying down there to get their vaccinations and then flying back because they couldn't get them here.
I heard about that. They were trying to stick themselves in They're very pushy people, Canadians. I
no,
know.
No, they, don't they, say that. We're not.
Not you. Not you. No, but they were trying to get ahead of the of us. I mean, I'm not getting vaccinated, but I'm just saying that I saw something on the news. Well, I don't listen. I don't watch the news. I listen to the news. I read the news online. I get breaking news. And there was something about them trying to get themselves ahead in, at the CVS's and the Walgreens. You know, that were getting the vaccination. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put
Tanisha
on hold.
Okay.
And Marianne, do you want to say anything else, or should we let James talk a little more?
I'll let James talk a little more.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
You know, I would love to know you're gone.
Sorry, did you say that Tanisha had written a book?
She just wrote a book, yeah. Do you want me to bring her back on?
Please, because I'd love to hear about it.
Okay. Okay,
hello.
Tanisha, he wants to hear about your book.
Hey, okay. Yes, I just wrote it. It just published the 21st of last month. It's called My Pain is My Power. I'm a survivor. I'm a rape survivor, incest, domestic violence, childhood sexual abuse, and I just put all of my pain in my book. And it took me, I'm 32 years old now, and I just came out of my shell last year, and I was just able to speak about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 14 years to write this book. And so everybody asked me, how did I do it? Well, it was not easy, and it took a long time. But I just thank God that I finally wrote the book, and I've been getting great support and everything from writing.
Yeah.
And I've been getting a lot of support, and I just, you know, I'm thankful for that. And I just turn all my pain into my power. This is my purpose, to help other. I want to help other women and children break their silence, come out of their shell, speak up, and speak the truth, even when their legs tremble. Still speak up and speak out, because my leg trembles when I speak sometimes, but I still get up and speak and everything. So it's just
congratulations. I'm so proud
Thank
of her, because I think, like, you came on to the other platform for the first time that I used to do the show.
That's when I broke my phone.
That was the first, right? That's when, and you used to call in just to listen, right?
Yes. Right.
Sometimes.
Yes.
And then you started calling into my show, and then you would speak a little here, a little there, and look at you now. It's incredible.
Yes. Thank you. And now my voice it just flows out, just comes out. It's amazing what the brain will tell you in the heart, but once you, like, you don't know what you can do until you do it. And I learned that.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
You really come so far.
And now here I am.
Yep.
So, Tanisha, how do I find your book?
I'm on Amazon. You can type in my name, Tanisha Bankston, or type in My Pain is My Power. I just sent you a friend request.
My Pain is My Power.
Yes.
Okay, I'll look
for
it.
Thank you.
She sent you a friend request on Facebook.
Oh,
yeah, I just sent you a friend request.
Completing a book is a huge effort. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
She's
you
way
so
ahead
much.
Of me. Way
you
ahead
got
of
it.
Me.
You can do it.
I know. And you know,
do you
when
enjoy
you're
writing? Sorry.
Like, for me, it's like, once in a blue moon, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, like from a dream or from something that, like, just hits me, and I'll furiously write. But it hasn't happened in a while.
Right.
I spend so much of my free time on social media advocating and posting stuff, and that if I would just put that aside, I probably could write. And you also have to go into a zone. You know, like a lot of people write as they're going through what they're going through, like a diary.
Right.
And I never did that. So, you know, for me, it's like I said, I'm up to 3 years of police reports, and when I look at them and I start reading through them, and there are things I didn't know, or there are lies, flat-out lies. It wasn't what I wrote in my statement. I re-victimized myself. So I have to get out of that. I have to totally zone out and just take a month or whatever it is and just do it.
Yeah.
Because the early stages of my marriage and all of that that led up to this is done. But this portion is 3 years worth plus, because it hasn't ended. So, you know,
everybody has their own way of writing.
Yeah.
I just picked up the pen and I just started writing. Like, it just would never go away. Everybody say, just forget about it. I just couldn't forget about it. I just started writing.
No.
And one day, when the pandemic hit last year, but this year, is like God said it's time. I just started typing everything. I just typing everything, and I just started researching and finding editors and publishers. And when Baby Bag Publishing told me that my book, they can accept my book, I was like, okay, so other people, I'm sure others can accept my book. And so that's what I did, and I typed over 20,000 words. I just kept typing, kept typing.
Wow.
And here I am.
There are when you become an advocate and you're out there, you have people. I have people on LinkedIn that come to me with like podcasters and all these people that like want to like make you even bigger than you are. And, I mean, like, I don't know if I can handle being bigger. Like, I have enough connections or whatever. I'm not out there to have 100 callers. I'm out there to have listeners, you know, to reach someone. That's what I'm doing this for. And, you know, and I'm sure, you know, Marianne wrote her book. It was to get a message out there and to get her pain out there and her story out there to reach people that it was meant to reach. And the same with Tanisha. You know, no one's making millions of dollars on any of this or potentially. We're out there to get our stories out there to help others. That's what I think. And, you know, but I get tons of offers. I mean, for people to write my story, or whatever. I was like, look, if I could talk and you write, you can have my story. You know, but there are apps where you can talk and it types.
Yeah.
If you're not a writer, but So there are so many different ideas of how to get, you know, get things done. It's a matter of getting into the zone. Like Tanisha said, she finally said, I'm doing it, and she put her focus into it. And that's, you know, so it's all priority. It's prioritizing, which I'm sure
you all know. And, you know, you have to pace yourself. You have to decide what's important and what's not, because there's so many distractions out there that you really have to make some hard decisions.
Right. Like I said, you know, I would have to take a break from my social media posting. I'm lucky that I haven't had issues finding a guest for my show. And this is my 17th, because I'm out there. And I have Marianne sending me people my way. Like, literally, people have asked to be on my show, and I'm blessed and I'm thankful that I haven't had that issue yet, you know, where, because I'm a last-minute person when it comes to to getting my show put together, as you can see. It's not a lot of work. You know, the person that's on the show, the guest has to send me their stuff, and I have to post it, and, you know, but the posting takes time, but you do it the day of. You're not doing it before. So within a few days, I like to know who my guest's going to be. You know, there are other people on the same platform that do other kinds of shows, and they're planned weeks in ahead because they're doing other things. You know, this is just like a side thing for them. You know,
right.
For me, this is, I'm not doing a lot of other things. So other than a lot of social media posting of different, you know, stories that I find or different, I'm sure you'll see some of the things I post, things that intrigue me and that I relate to or that I'm passionate about. So, yeah.
Have you considered going on, posting it live, I mean, as in on YouTube or on one of the live platforms?
You know,
where you can actually see yourself and
yeah.
See other people?
I've done. There's a YouTube one of me, Miss Texas, did one with me, and it got a lot of views. I think that that probably was one that really got me out there. I could send you a link to it. It is on my LinkedIn. You have to see those are. First of all, you're just talking. So it's you and a guest, right?
Right.
I'm not ready for that. I was asked
right.
To do it with someone, and actually, Vincent Lancey, Tanisha, did you just do one with him on YouTube?
Yes.
You did.
I did one with him,
Yeah. What were you gonna say?
And then I'm going back to do the soon after he comes off of vacation to get on there
okay.
About my book.
So was it posted yet?
I don't know if he's posted his shit.
Well, he'll send you the link then.
Okay.
Right. So. Send me the link and I'll post it, or he'll send it to me, because I did a few podcasts with him. He's amazing. If you look him up, Vincent A. Lancey, he's on Instagram. He's on LinkedIn. He's incredible. He was doing, like, podcast after podcast, and he was doing two different kinds. One was mental health, and one was entrepreneur. Like, every day was another one on Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah, and he came to me, and I did two with him, and two or three, I don't remember. And he asked me if I wanted to do his YouTube. He had a few spaces in May, and I was not available. So when he comes back in July, we'll do one. You know, you can if you know you connect with someone to do an interview with them, like they're your interviewer, it's fine. If you're the interviewer, it's your show. I don't know. It's more work. Mariam, what do you think?
Right.
Like your YouTube interviews, doesn't it take more out of you than your?
Well, I just do the audio because the YouTube, I've heard people really aren't going to that anymore. They just want a podcast that they can listen to. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just going to stick to what I'm doing.
Didn't you do a few YouTube ones?
As far as interviews, I have, but I haven't done it.
You did for
anyone.
Someone else. It's much. See, it takes more effort. When you do a YouTube one, especially if you're doing one every week, you have to get all prepared and you have to have the right background. And, you know, because I've done interviews face to face with most of the people that I was interviewed by, and you know, I could roll out of bed and do it. Not that I would, but you can, because you're just talking to that one person and nobody's seeing you but them. But that's not my. That's not me. I get all dressed up and everything, and it's again, it's time consuming. It's work and it's preparation, more preparation. Like I could be sitting here while I'm talking to you, I'll get messages, and yeah. You know, people like Marianne can send me a message. Hey Bailey, I gotta go now, which she has. You know. A lot of people have done that. Hey, I got to drop the call because I have something emergency came up or whatever. It's a little bit easier when you're doing a podcast, but to do them every now and then, once in blue moon for someone else, is great. I think it's great because they help promote you, and they help get whatever you need out there. So they're doing all the work, mostly, right,
right.
Anisha? Did you feel that?
Yes. What did you say?
Like when you did a YouTube with Vincent, whoever else you have, it wasn't you doing all the preparation, right? You just had to speak, so it wasn't such a big deal.
Right.
But imagine being the interviewer on a weekly basis, right?
Right. And like you were saying, like there's so much more that you have to do.
Right.
So, yeah, so, I just...
You know... Yeah. Go on,
seems like it's a lot of work to it. Oh, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. It depends on what you're doing a show for. If you're doing it for the reasons I am doing it, and I believe Marianne, is to get a message out there, to interview... have a person that can, you know, a good interviewee, and you're getting a message out there. These are great, and we're reaching people. We are, because we've made. I think all of us could say we've made tons of connections.
That is true.
Yeah.
So. You know, that's the whole thing of advocating. Like, I could say I'm doing this 3-4 years now. Not podcast necessarily, but advocating on social media. And I could say truly I've reached many, 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 many people. So we have 90 seconds, about a minute left. So I'd love to close with some closing words from James and thank you, Marianne. Thank you, Tanisha.
Thank you
to all the people that called in tonight and supporting our show. Thank you, Joe Koch, for giving me the Blog Talk Radio time, and Charlie for helping me get this all on the road going. And now, James, some closing words.
Oh. Thank you, Bailey, and of course, Marianne and Nina, if you're still on, and Tanisha. It was great hanging out with you, and I hope we do this again soon, and I hope to see all of you in your Sunday finest on the red carpet when the movie premieres in your area.
I believe you're going to get this done. This is going to get done. This is going to get done. I have so much faith in both of you. I had faith in Marianne, and now that I've met you, I have faith in you. So it's going to happen because it has to happen.
So, Absolutely.
And
thank you.
Hopefully, you know, you'll remember little me, and you'll come back on here, and you'll talk about it.
Absolutely. And I'll bring Brett along with me and Julia Roberts to chat with you, too.
Oh, yeah, he'll be
awesome.
There.
Awesome. So thank you again, James Russell, for being on our show tonight. And all of his information, his Facebook and his company's website is on the link to the show. And Anybody that has any connections to movie stars, funding, that wants to help support this very important book, screenplay, this message that has to get out there to the world and open people's eyes on what's going on right under their nose to so many people, and it's our children. We have to save our children, the next generation. We have to end this corruption of this United States of America. I mean, what happened to us? It's not okay. It has to end. Anyway, have a wonderful night. Thank you all for calling in, and we'll see you next week, hopefully. Thank you.
All right.
With a little perseverance, you can get things done. The sight of blind adherence that has conquered some. Nobody wants to know you now. Nobody wants to show you how. You can never surrender. If you're back on me, you can never.